You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, a podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction.
I've always had a nose for synchronicity. Long before I knew what it was, how it worked, why it worked, or indeed the science behind it. I recollect one lunchtime in 1984 when I was at something of a low point. I had been a tax consultant for a number of years. Without being rude to tax consultants, that will kind of bring you to a low point. Anyway, I know that, been there, done that, but I was at a low point. One spring day in 1984, I got to the point where I was so fed up with what I was doing work-wise. Now, listen to the warped logic of this. I was so fed up with what I was doing at the time, I decided I'd stop working for anybody else being a tax consultant and that I'd set up my own practice. As I said, the logic was warped. The logic came from trying to think my way out of what felt to me like almost a desperate situation. So I walked across town one day at lunchtime in Dublin to a printer's and ordered 500 letterheads for my new practice working from home in Temple Oak in Dublin. On my way back to the office, feeling somewhat downcast, I wandered into a church. Now, you'll know from our previous conversations here that I have a particular perspective on religion. And that, for starters, is born out of the fact that I was brought up in Holy Catholic Ireland, which would give you a very particular perspective on religion. But we all go there. I just happened to wander into, some of you might know, to the University Church on St. Stephen's Green in Dublin. There was no one else in the church. I was on my own. I wasn't even sure why I'd gone into the church, but I sat down for a minute and suddenly was aware that there was someone in a confession box. Now, by the way, I wasn't into confession, but we won't go there either. I'll just relay the facts to you. Sitting there, and I became aware that the right thing to do was to go into the confession box. I knelt down, the door slid open, and this deathly-like figure, a very elderly man with grey hair, said to me, "You're not very happy in your work, sure you're not." What do you say to something like that? Actually, what I said is what you say to something like that. I said absolutely nothing at all. He said, "Don't worry, everything passes," and slid the door closed again. I got out of the confession box, wandered out into the sunlight, and said to myself, what just happened? And was it real? And by the way, to this day, I'm not sure whether the guy in the confession box was actually there or not. But that's an aside. I wandered back to the office, still bemused by what had happened. I'd only got in the door when I got a phone call from somebody that I had known 8 years earlier in Irish Life Assurance Company, who offered me a job. There and then, without an interview, a job that I wasn't aware that was available, certainly it wasn't a job, therefore, that I had applied for, out of the blue, within an hour of that encounter in the University Church in St. Stephen's Green in Dublin. Make of it what you will, but bear with me because there's lots more where that came from. A couple of years later, having moved into the life insurance industry again and having made something of a name for myself in the life insurance industry, I decided that I wanted to develop some financial planning tools that would help people who are on the sales side in the life insurance industry. I tried to explain what I wanted to a couple of people that I knew in IT, and they hadn't a clue what I was talking about. So on the day, I came to the conclusion that I needed to teach myself how to program a computer. Two things happened. First of all, on my way back to the office, I had to get out of a downpour in Dublin. wandered into a bookshop, fell over a pile of books that were entitled How to Start Computer Programming. So obviously I bought that. I went back to the office, and on my desk was a circular from the HR department that said they were offering interest-free loans to anybody who wanted to buy a personal computer. Now, bear in mind, this is the late 1980s, and not too many people had personal computers at that stage. But those two things pointed me in that particular direction. Now, were it not for those two things, I might never have learned to program a computer. I might have completely forgotten about even why I wanted to do it in the first place. But the interesting thing is, why I wanted to do it in the first place is not actually the real reason that I ended up learning how to program computers. Were it not for my ability to program, the online program that I regularly refer to in this podcast, the Psychology of Success online program, wouldn't exist, because it is actually quite a complicated piece of computer programming. So we're talking about synchronicity. And the reason I'm talking about me this week is that a number of people have said to me, you're always telling stories about people with whom you work. You're always telling stories about online program owners and one-to-one clients and people that you've worked with over the last 30 years. We want to hear a little more about you and how you've got to where you are now, sitting pretty in the apps talking to you. It's funny, you know, and it's sad in many ways as well, that on many occasions in life, synchronicities happen when you're at a low point. Why would you have to wait to get to a low point for you to see the synchronicities that will lead you forward from a high point to a higher point? And yet it is often the case, certainly among people that I have met as a result of their becoming online program owners, that they were almost in the desperation stakes before they decided to actually pay attention to something that they had stumbled across, for example, on Facebook. In other words, me or my online program. Synchronicities are most likely to happen when you have expressed your intentions. Now, we talked about intentions last week as well. And for intentions, you can use the phrase desired outcomes, or you could talk about goals and objectives. But I'm not mad about the goals and objectives words, because they suggest it's something that I'm aiming for. This is something deeper than a target. This is an inherent instinctive sense of the way in which you want your life to go. And if there is something rattling around in your head about how you want your life to go, well, then you need to actually express that. We've talked before about how you can express that by handwriting a perfect moment. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back over just the last three or four episodes of this podcast, where we go into how to set your mind to get your desired outcomes, or indeed just pick on the last one, the last episode that we had last week, which was entitled Firing Your Heat-Seeking Missile, because our instinctive selves are something of a heat-seeking missile. Last week's episode explains that in more detail. But as I said a moment ago, there are a variety of different ways in which we can express our most deeply held intentions. Now, before we go any further, I want to clarify exactly what I mean by that. Because we're not talking about ordinary goals and objectives. That's why I don't like those two words. We tend to think through what our goals and objectives should be when we're using our mind normally. And in doing so, we then think through how we might achieve those goals and objectives. In other words, we might come up with a plan, which we discussed a couple of weeks ago as being a useless activity. Or worse, we might think through how we might achieve those thought through goals and objectives, and our thinking mind would lead us to the conclusion that what our goals and objectives, as stated, are unrealistic. That is the rock on which so many people perish, the speed bump that stops people in their tracks. If you think something is unrealistic, it's unrealistic. If you think something is realistic, it's realistic. It's all about the perception. It's all about how you think about it. You'd be better off not thinking about it at all. Instead, you'd be far better exploring what your intuition is telling you and letting your gut instinct out. Now, again, before we go any further, in case you're confused as to how you might do that, how is really simple in that case. You meditate, 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 and meditate, because amongst a whole load of other things that meditation will do for you is it will clear your mind. And as your mind becomes clear, so do the things that are best for you in life become clear. So we're talking about expressing your intentions. And again, I would refer you back to last week's episode in relation to handwriting perfect moments. If we don't express our intentions, they will rattle around in our head. And the more they rattle around in our head, the more prone they are to be infiltrated by and poisoned by our thinking mind. And we will always fall on the sword of something being unrealistic. So we need to express our intentions. In its simplest form, expressing your intentions means telling someone your intentions or saying your intentions out loud. Now, again, before we go any further, there's a caveat that goes with that. You need to ensure that if you're going to tell somebody your intentions, that you can trust them implicitly. Most people you can't trust, because most people are normal, crazy people. And that means they're not in charge of their own state of mind, so they can't even trust themselves. So why would you trust somebody who cannot trust themselves? Now, that's quite apart from the fact that some normal, crazy people would try to keep you down at their level. There's a great discomfort among normal, crazy people when those around them start to rise above them, when those around them begin to succeed, when those around them become different. Again, we talked about that over the last couple of weeks and how evolution has seen to it that using our mind normally, we will always stay close to the herd, stay close to our tribe, and anything that would lead us outside the tribe is shunned as being unrealistic for starters, or possibly putting us in harm's way. So you need to be very careful if you're going to express your intentions to anybody that you can trust the person to whom you're going to express those intentions. All of my one-to-one clients have expressed their intentions to me. They can trust me. Many of my online program owners have expressed their intentions to me. Actually, now that I reflect on that, possibly most of my online program owners have expressed their intentions to me. Expressing your intentions can come in a variety of different ways. And if we go back to what we said a few minutes ago about people perhaps needing to hit a low or needing to be almost desperate before they pull themselves together and do something about it, sometimes expressing an intention in the negative is the most powerful way of moving yourself forward. Now, note what I've just said. I didn't say sometimes expressing a negative intention. I said expressing an intention in the negative. Let me explain exactly what I mean. And the best way to do that, as ever, is through an example. Picture this. It is a cold, wet September morning. Myself and Lisa are driving along the autoroute between here and Geneva Airport at 4:30 in the morning. I'm heading to the airport to take a flight to go away for a week's work. And I turn to Lisa and I say, "I don't want to do this anymore." And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I don't want to travel for business anymore. If I'm ever going to travel, I want to travel for pleasure." The conversation just ended like that. And we drove along in silence, trying to see what was in front of us through sheets of rain. That was a Monday morning. I had a workshop in Dublin on the Tuesday morning, and I had some one-to-one work on the Wednesday. On the Wednesday evening, I got back to my hotel and rang home. And Lisa said to me, I have the solution to your not having to travel for business anymore. I said, I go on. I got an email this morning, she said, from some marketeer in the States telling me about this online program that obviously you have to buy that will enable you set up an online business so that, in our case, you won't have to travel for business anymore. I said, tell me more. And she told me more. And she said, I really want to buy this online program. Now, the online program in question was, and still is, called Product Launch Formula by Jeff Walker. I've mentioned him before. Some of you will know Jeff Walker as a result of my mentioning him before. We'll come back to Jeff Walker again, perhaps in the coming week or so, because I can say with my hand on my heart, Jeff Walker changed my life. But let me get back to the story. That was the Wednesday evening. Lisa said to me, I need to buy this by Friday evening because his special offer is closing. And I said to her, ah, come on, that's only marketing. You and I know that if you put a deadline in front of somebody's nose, it will almost force them into buying. She said, no, I really want to buy this. I said, look, I'll be home Saturday morning. We'll sit down Saturday afternoon and have a look through it. And as sure as I am talking to you on the phone right now, that special offer will still be available. Got home via London on the Saturday morning and we sat down in the afternoon, clicked the link that Lisa had been using to explore Product Launch Formula and found that the special offer was no longer available. Now, we looked at each other and Lisa was the first to speak. She said, we should have bought that when it felt right, last Wednesday. Now, that was an interesting way in which she put it. We should have done what felt right. Synchronicity is all about doing what feels right. It has nothing to do with my way of thinking that Wednesday evening when I said, oh, I need to think about this, you know, the special offer will still be open at the weekend. Now, we need to listen to our gut instinct. And indeed, right back to the start of this week's episode, I said right at the beginning that I have been hearing my gut instinct and stumbling across synchronicities since back in the early 1980s. I've always heard my gut instinct. I'm not going to go into some of the weirder and more wonderful ways that I have heard my gut instinct and stumbled across synchronicities. I've always heard my gut instinct, but so often before I started meditating, did I think my way out of what my gut instinct was telling me, as a result of which I ignored my gut instinct. Never, ever, ever ignore what your own intuition, what your own sixth sense, what your instinct is telling you. And in particular, never ignore what your own gut instinct identifies as a synchronicity. It is the signpost on the way forward to the life that is best for you. Right, I've said my bit. Let's get back to the story. I tried to get in contact with Jeff Walker's people in the United States and they told me, no, sorry, the special offer closed last night. Did you not read everything we sent you? They did, however, point me to his $10 book on Amazon, which we bought straight away. And it actually has the essence of Product Launch Formula in the book, but it's really only the essence. But we read the book inside out, underlined the passages. And then after a period of time came across somebody else who was saying that Jeff is going to do this in another few months. So we waited. And sure enough, a few months later, a similar offer for Product Launch Formula came online. And I was scratching my head still. In other words, my thinking mind was saying to me, and indeed to my better half, you know, this doesn't feel 100% right. But we knew in our heart and soul that it actually did feel right. It was a perfect fit for what we wanted to do. But in the midst of all the marketing material that was sent out the second time, I came across a testimonial from two guys that I actually know personally, two Irish guys. And I said to Lisa, I said, I know these two guys. She said, phone them. So we had a Zoom conversation. And these two guys said to me, oh, yeah, Jeff Walker will change your life. Jeff Walker changed our life. It's one of those pivotal moments in your life where you stumble across something so moves you forward that you wonder what in God's name were you laboring for in the past. And one of the guys said to me, and he said, sure, you're already set up. I said, how do you mean? He said, you already have an online program. I said, no, I don't. He said, what about Change Your Life? Now, Change Your Life was a 28 video, amateurish attempt at an online program that I put online in 2008. Didn't even know how to market it, so almost nobody bought it. It was my first time using video. As I've said before, I started using video in 2008 when I started sending out Thursday morning videos. And they still go out to this day every Thursday morning. If you're not getting those videos, use the link in your podcast player to sign up, and you'll get not just a Thursday morning video with a quick tip and a reflection, you'll have immediate access to over 900 of them going back 17 years. So this guy, one of the two guys that I know, says to me, he said, you have an online program. And I said to him, I completely and utterly forgot about that. Absolutely forgot about it. Now, I know I'm jumping around the place a bit, but there were a number of reasons why I didn't want to travel for business anymore. So we need to go back to that because we're talking about expressing our intentions. I didn't want to travel for business anymore because I didn't like being away from home anymore. I didn't like being away from Lisa anymore. I didn't like traveling for business because I didn't like having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to leave the house at 4:30 to get a 7 o'clock flight to Dublin or London. But the main reason I wanted to stop travelling for business was because the business I was doing no longer fulfilled me. Let's pause for a moment, because if you are not experiencing fulfilment in your everyday life, you have got to express an intention that you would like to be fulfilled. What's the point of getting up in the morning if you're not enjoying yourself and feeling fulfilled, feeling that you're actually making a difference? And you know, making a difference starts with making a difference to how you feel about yourself. Making a difference starts with making a difference to your quality and experience of everyday life, so that as a result of that, making the difference spreads out through those with whom you share your life, those that you love. It's like the old expression, charity begins at home. You're the most important person in your life. If you're not feeling fulfilled, you better do something about it. Otherwise, you will go around in circles using your normal crazy mind normally, and you will end up like a friend of mine's uncle at 76 years of age on his deathbed. His last words were, well, what the hell is that all about? All right, I digress, but it's an important digression. Most of my work when I travelled for business was with large corporate clients. I was working with leadership teams in the electricity generation industry, in the pharmaceutical industry, and obviously, because of my original background, in the financial services industry. So picture it. I might be in a beautiful hotel in the midst of a rolling countryside, perhaps somewhere in the west of Ireland, for 2 or 3 days with maybe 10 or 12 people. 4 or 5 of those people did not want to be there. 2 or 3 of those people were enthralled by what we were talking about. Some of the others couldn't care less. And there was always one in the room who was trying to undermine all the efforts of the team leader. As I've said before, most of the teams with whom I worked in business over the years weren't teams. They were groups of people where the leader wanted the boat to be rowed in one particular direction. Some of those in the boat were rowing furiously to move the boat forward. A couple of people were rowing furiously to move the boat in any other direction than the direction in which the team leader wanted. And there was always one fella in the middle drilling a hole in the bottom of the boat. Where is the fulfillment in sitting down with a group of people knowing that a few weeks after I've done my bit, most of what was normal before will have returned? They'll have returned to their normal, crazy behaviours. Indeed, that reminds me of another synchronicity. Because when I was working in banking, I got a job in the bank in 1990 because the bank was bankrupt. It was way ahead of its time, way ahead of the 2008 financial crash. It was bankrupt before its time. And I got a job to turn it around so that the owners of the bank could sell it. I was 20 years younger at the time than the youngest member of the senior leadership team, so that presented me with a very big challenge. But what I did with the leadership team was take them away to the kind of nice hotel that I just talked about a minute ago, and over the course of 2 or 3 days, we came up with a strategy and an action plan. I know it sounds very corporate, for moving forward. And after those 2 or 3 days, which everybody acknowledged were an amazing breakthrough 3 days, they all went back to head office and behaved exactly the same way as they had before we ever had our 3 days together. They started doing exactly the same stuff that got the bank into financial difficulties in the first place. And after a couple of these sessions, I was tearing my hair out and I started scratching around looking for someone to explain to me what was wrong with these, as I now call them, normal crazy people. What came across my desk the morning that I actually asked myself that question? A brochure in relation to a semi-retired American psychologist who was doing small workshops in the Swiss Alps. Now, as I said a few minutes ago, I don't like travelling for business, and I certainly didn't like travelling for business when it was other people's business. When it was my own business, it was okay, up to the point that I mentioned earlier on. Well, I never wanted to go away for that kind of thing, but I couldn't resist the temptation because it felt right. And that semi-retired psychologist was a guy to whom I've referred before, Jerry Kushel. Jerry Kushel changed my life. Because I went over to him and I said, there's something wrong with all these people that I'm working with. He said, no, there's something wrong with everybody, including you. You're using your mind normally and you'll always keep going around in circles until you start using your mind abnormally. If you can get your hands on it, I would recommend one of his books called Effective Thinking for Uncommon Success. It's out of print and Jerry is no longer with us, but it is something worth reading because it is so simple, in such simple language, and so bloody obvious when you actually have it put in black and white in front of you. So the main reason, in fact, that I wanted to stop travelling for business was because I'd had enough of working with people for whom I was not making a difference. I decided, after we stumbled across Product Launch Formula, that I was going to put together a proper online program. The current online program, The Psychology of Success, has 72 videos with accompanying exercises. It has something like 6 or 7 dozen meditations. It has 6 dozen mini meditations, something I referred to last week and something that I will come back to again. And it has 3 further advanced modules comprising 31 other video sessions. But most importantly, I meet people who want to change their life every second Wednesday night on Zoom. There's about 150 hours of conversations that we've had since the online program was launched in late 2018. That's the real kick we get out of sharing the advice that we have as a result of benefiting from our own journeys. So I stopped the lucrative corporate work, and last year was our best financial year ever. Just working with people around the world who want to make a difference by starting by making a difference to themselves in their own life. As I said, this all came about because Lisa stumbled across Jeff Walker and Product Launch Formula. It was like me stumbling across a pyramid of books, How to Start Learning Computer Programming. It was like us stumbling across our future home in the French Alps when we actually thought it was going to be just a little holiday apartment. Let's talk about that for just a minute, because so many people have asked me about it. My life changed in the Swiss Alps. I mentioned that a minute ago. It was one of these milestones that we all experience in our lives, or that I hope you've experienced in your life. Or perhaps, you know, listening to this podcast is a milestone in your life. Or for all the people who have bought the online program, The Psychology of Success, they say that is one of the most important milestones in changing their lives. But I hit one of those milestones in the Swiss Alps. So a few years later, in 1998 or 1999, whilst on a motoring holiday with our three children, rather than do the normal stuff by going down the west coast or down to the south of France, I decided that going down through France, we'd take a left turn and go up into the Alps. I wanted my wife and children to see a landscape by which I had been so struck a few years earlier. Now, it wasn't, as you will gather, the landscape that actually struck me. It was the realization that I could use my mind differently and change my life. Absolutely, that actually struck me. But it took place in the Alps. So we wandered up into the Alps. We arrived at night. We checked into our hotel. The following morning, Lisa was out of bed first, swung open the shutters and looked across the Alps to what we subsequently discovered was Mont Blanc, and turned to me and she said, "I didn't know places like this existed." We only spent 3 days in and around Chamonix Mont Blanc. On one of those days, we found ourselves caught in the kind of thunderstorm that you get in the mountains, that if you step outside, you will be destroyed. Now, unfortunately, when the thunderstorm started, we were outside. So we had to shelter under the awning of a little shop that sold trinkets, cigarettes, chocolate, and apartments. I know it sounds weird, but there was a photograph in a little frame in the window of apartments in a place that we had never heard of, a place called Le Contamine Montchois. And Lisa said to me, "Let's go and look at those apartments." I said, "It's Sunday afternoon, it's pouring rain, we're leaving tomorrow, we can't do that." She said, "Go into them and ask to see the apartments now." I said, "Ah, come on, you can't be serious." But anyway, we drove up through the mountains in that thunderstorm into this apartment in what could only be described as what we thought at the time was a daze, but it was actually flow. We saw the apartment, walked through it and got back into our car. And as we drove down the mountain, Lisa said to me, "Ring the estate agent and tell her we'll buy it." I said, "We don't have the money to buy it." I said, "I'm only working for myself for a couple of years at this stage. We don't have that kind of money to have a second property." She said, "What are you always telling people? When you are in flow, everything flows, including cash flow. Ring the estate agent." So I rang the estate agent on the phone in the car and bought a little apartment in Le Contamine Montchois that a couple of years later was the place to which we moved to start our adventure in the French Alps. We emigrated to the French Alps in December 2002. And never in my life have I got a cheap flight online. And in particular, I've never got a cheap flight from the so-called cheap airlines like Ryanair or EasyJet. But we emigrated to France at the princely cost of €5. That was the cost of our airfare for five people. Slightly less than €5. We got 5 99-cent flights. Was it by chance? No, it wasn't by chance. It was synchronicity. It was another one of those signposts saying to you, you are moving in the right direction. Which brings me to the whole point of this week's podcast. When you're using your mind normally, you're moving in no direction. You're moving round and round in circles. That is the way the automatic pilot works, the automatic pilot that we have discussed so many times in this podcast. To move yourself forward in your life, you need to use your mind in an abnormal way. Let me put it a different way. People who are using their mind normally are living an ordinary life. People who are using their mind abnormally are living an extraordinary life. The extra is that they actually turn up to their lives in the here and now by being present as a result of meditation, as a result of which they have what we might call presence. No, what we will call presence, because that is what it is. And presence is attractive. We've said that on a number of occasions recently. Isn't it lovely to be in the presence of somebody with presence? They're attractive. But I don't just mean attractive in that way. I mean that when we are present, we will attract into our lives the obvious synchronicities that are placed before us, the irresistible synchronicities that we know deep down that we have to follow by taking just the right action in just the right way at just the right time. Couldn't you actually describe that as a perfect moment?
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-portal.com.